All right, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary, and it is Call Day. You know, it's Earth Day elsewhere in America, but it's Call Day at Concordia Seminary. So everybody's all excited about that. That's a good deal. We started last week 1 Thessalonians, and then as I was sharing with the group just a minute ago, I got an impassioned email from someone I had never met, but who is a faithful listener to Greek Club and Hebrew Club, and his email was titled Galatians, Galatians, Galatians. So I said, what the heck? One vote wins. So we're going to shift to Galatians. And then some godless person recently said to me, we should just read the introductions to all the letters. And that would be easy, but we're not going to do that. So we're going to shift to Galatians in honor of our colleague out there in the real world who's listening in. And thank you for that vote. So we'll get started again. We got started last week, and we'll get started again. So verse 1, Galatians 1:1. Paulos apostolos uk ap anthropon ude de anthropou ala dia Jesu Christu kai theou patras tu egerantas autan ek nekron. A fairly full greeting in Galatians. There's quite a bit of theology here, although we won't carry over that too much. But it does follow the standard format, so we have the nominative author, Paul, and then in apposition, he describes himself, an apostle, not from men or human beings, nor through a man. Allah, rather, through Jesus Christ and God, now in apposition, the Father, now let's modify Father, to egerantas. Who can tell me why this is an aorist participle and not a present stem participle? Egerantas. One letter.
The alpha.
It's the alpha. If it were a present stem participle, it's a liquid stem verb. The third principal part is egera. So the inside, the guts of the stem is the same as the first principal part. The only thing that shows you is that it takes the alpha connecting vowel, so to speak. So this is an aorist participle in attributive position, right? There's the article in front of it, so it's directly modifying Father, right? The one who raised him out of the dead people, right? From the dead, as you know, is just an idiom, but it is plural, right? So there's actually a lot of discussion, there has been a lot of discussion about the two prepositional phrases in the first line. Does Paul intend a distinction from men nor through a man? And after extensive discussion, the answer is, I don't know. I mean, really, there's lots have been written on this, and you just wonder if perhaps people are trying to make too much out of it. But clearly, his apostleship is not from a human source or by mere human agency, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. As you probably know, theos in the New Testament almost always refers to the Father, right? And here it's explicitly the case. So, easy enough, and we're almost done with the nominatives. We have to get the brothers in here in verse 2. But any questions or anything on verse 1? Pretty standard opening. Okay, so pick up verse 2. Kai hois sin emoi pontes adelphoi, tais ecclesiais tais galateas. And we'll just do that quickly, that's easy enough. So we have co-workers mentioned, and the with me all brothers. So the hoi goes all the way to adelphoi and governs that noun. And all that stuff is in attributive position. Now this would be a great question. Who can tell me what the space in between the article and the noun is called? There's actually a grammatical term for that. So you can cram modifiers in there, you know? Does anybody know this?
Is that the sandwich?
Well, that's what Vels calls it. Vels calls it the sandwich, which is a very homely and nicely descriptive. That would be actually the meat, you know? Yeah. No, this is actually called, Tim, you probably know this.
I don't know.
It's called the hyperbaton. Yeah, hyperbaton. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 This won't get you a raise, but you can feel temporarily smart. So we have 1, 2, 3 words in the Hyperbaton. Now I mention that just to have a little fun. Go to chapter 3, Galatians 3. This is one of the biggest hyperbata that I've ever seen. That there's got to be bigger ones, but in verse 17, 3:17, in the second line, we've got ha. Everybody see the article?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 words later, you get namas. So it's the law. And which law is that? It's the after 430 years having come law. Right. So it's just like German. Right. So, yeah, German does the same thing. So, okay, after that edifying discursus, back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. And we get a fairly lengthy blessing, you know, the common formula, but Paul actually does modify this quite a bit, and he doesn't always do that. So, verse 3 and 4 and 5. Charis humin kai eirene apa theu patras hemon kai kiriu Jesu Christu. To dantas theoton hiperton hamar teon hemon hopos ex ele taemas ek tu ionas tu enestotas poneru kata ta thelema tu theu kai patras hemon ho he doxa eis tus ionas ton ionon. Amen. So we start again with a new thought, hence the nominative nouns, grace to y'all and peace. And then, you know, it's a wish or a prayer, so you could supply a verb if you wanted to, be, or an optative, perhaps. From God, comma, in apposition, the Father of us. And since hemon is in the middle, you could probably apply it both to Father and Lord, and translate, and our Lord, now, once again, in apposition, Jesus Christ. And now, a very identical construction to how Paul modified Father before, now he'll modify Jesus Christ with an attributive position participle. Dantas is from what dictionary form? Anybody?
Didomi,
right? If you see a funny verb-looking word with a delta that's at the beginning, it's probably from didomi. Right? That's my rule. It's aorist participle active, masculine singular genitive. The one who gave himself. Now, this has always struck me as odd. It's kind of standard formula. Hiperton hamarteon himon. For our sins. What does that feel odd to anybody, and why? For hiper plus the genitive normally expresses what?
Agency.
Well, yeah. Actually, something a little different. Hiper.
The clause hiper?
Yeah.
On behalf of.
Yeah, it means on behalf of. Right? So how can it be said that Christ gave himself on behalf of our sins to help our sins out, right? And I actually looked this up in Burton. I was mentioning Ernst DeWitt Burton's great commentary, and he acknowledges the awkwardness. He says that one of his suggestions is that, you know, prepositions are just kind of flexible in context. One thought that I've had is that the manuscript tradition, you don't see a variant reading here, but at times you'll get interchangeability between hiper plus the genitive and peri plus the genitive.
There's a variant.
Oh, is there a variant?
Yeah.
Well, bless my pointy little head. What does it say?
Peri and P46.
I'm a genius. That's right. I did not know that was there. So, okay, we should just stop right now and have our lunch. But we won't. We'll keep going. Yeah, well, okay, that's early Christian commentary, right? They're feeling the same kind of tension. Dang, I'm good. I hope they edit that part off. So, yeah, especially after Rev. Rothschild's great sermon this morning, right? Yeah. So, anyway. So maybe that explains it. So he gave himself concerning our sins. And that is probably sacrificial language, right? We could go to Romans 8, but we don't have time, and we're not doing theology anyway. So you do have to massage the normal force of that plus the genitive a little bit. Let's see. Okay, this would be, I love to ask this question, just because it drives Dr. Bell's nuts. The sins of us, what is the force of that genitive modifier of us? What kind of genitive, in other words? Anybody?
Subjective.
Subjective, yeah, because there's a verbal idea in sin. It's the sins that we do, And Dr. Seleska is mocking me over there and shaking his head. So. At least we don't have pronominal suffixes and prophredonic vowel reduction, right? So, all right. Huppos plus the subjunctive comes next, and probably purpose. This is the purpose why Christ gave himself. Ex eleitai, boy, you get a medal if you know what this is from. Anybody happen to know the dictionary form of this?
It's like ex eleitai.
Two good guesses, no, both completely wrong. It's from ex ireo. You'd have to look this baby up. So it goes, ireo goes to Elon, or as Veltz would pronounce it, Ilon. Epsilon iota, diphthong. So, and this is the middle. So it's aorist subjunctive middle, third singular. You can see the tai ending. And the lexicon for the middle gives the force of deliver or rescue. Okay? And so we'll take it that way. In order that he might rescue us from the age. Now we'll modify age by repeating the article. And enestotos is a perfect participle from enistemi. A perfect active participle from enistemi, and it means to be present. Okay? So, the age which is present. And now we'll put one more modifier in the end, and because you have a string like this, the grammar suggests that you don't need to repeat the article on Suniru, which is why you can translate it, the age, the present one, the evil one. Okay? Or as it's typically rendered, I think, the present evil age. Notice here, Galatians, of all Paul's letters, probably has the fewest explicitly eschatological statements. I mean, it's just kind of subdued in Galatians. But this is kind of the eschatological framework of this age and the age to come and the present evil age and so forth. Now, he did this, kata, according to God's will, the will of the God and Father of us. Okay, here's a kind of a funny grammatical rule. We have tu theou kai patras. One article, two nouns, singular, refer to persons, and they're not proper names. What's the rule?
It's definite. Or the article applies to patras as well?
The article applies to patras, and they refer to the same person. Now, this one's not hard, but grammatically they do. Anybody know the name of the rule? It's a great name. We should have a seminarian have a son, and you should call him Granville. This is Granville Sharp's rule. Right. And again, you can look that up in the grammars, and it grammatically as well as theologically, we know that Theou and Patras are the same person. Right. According to the will of God and Father of us, to whom, the relative pronoun there, ho, and now we want a verb, maybe the optative of eme, or genomai, to whom be, something like that. The doxa, into the ages of ages, amen, or idiomatically, forever. Olam le'olam, right? Tim, or something like that in Hebrew?
Olam.
Yeah. Is that close enough?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Good. Okay, questions. A long sentence. Yeah, Tim?
Verse 4. You have the article before Ionas and Stotus, but not before Ta Pane. It's not Tu Pane Ru.
Right.
Is that kind of standard that if you have a couple of modifiers after a noun?
It's apparently allowable, right. That's what the grammar suggested, because you've got a couple stringing along behind. You don't have to repeat the article. Yep. Otherwise, you'd expect it. So.
Okay.
Yep. Good. Okay, all right. Galatians. Now, as you know, just a very brief comment. Paul will always, at this point in his letters, give a thanksgiving or a prayer or something like that. Galatians is the only letter where he starts off with, "I am amazed," right? And given the conventionalities of letter writing, the people hearing this for the first time would probably have noticed, right? So it's not, "I give thanks to my God always for you." I mean, even to the Corinthians, for crying out loud, he starts by giving thanks, right? But not here. And so the urgency, of the matter at hand is reflected in the fact that there's no thanksgiving or prayer, but Paul just launches right into it. So verse 6. Thaumazo hati hutos takeos meta tithista apa tu kalasantas hemas en karate Christu ace heteron evangelion. We could pause there at the comma. So I marvel, or I am amazed, from Thaumazo. I see that in the Gospels a fair amount. Now, hati could go either because, or with a kind of a lesser force, it could simply mean that. And either one makes good sense, I think, in context, and doesn't affect the sense of the passage. So I am amazed that, in this way, hutos, takaos is the adverb, quickly, metatithista, obviously from metatitheme, the active means to transfer something. The middle, which is the way it's normally taken here rather than passive, means to desert, among other things, or to turn away from. So that's the way it's often translated. I am amazed that in this way, quickly, you are turning away from tu kalesantas hemas. Here we have a participle in attributive position. It's acting like a substantive. There's no separate referent. It's simply the calling you one. And if you look up kaleo in Paul, almost always, when it's unambiguous at least, God is the subject. So it occurred to me some time ago that as Lutherans, we trained by the catechism, we might automatically supply the Spirit as the one who calls, gathers, invites, and sanctifies. But for what it's worth, it's probably the Father is the one who called you. Now, en plus the dative, en charite, Galatians is really a case in point for the flexibility of en plus the dative. If you just looked up all the uses of en in Galatians, you could see a lot of different forces. Here, it's probably the equivalent of a dative of anybody? Who called you?
Savior.
Yeah, dative of means. By means of the grace of Christ. Right. When we get later in chapter 1, we'll see a couple of N plus the dative phrases in a row where each one of them actually seems to have a different sense. So it's really very, really very flexible. And the context has to lead the way. So dative of means works well here. So by the grace of Christ, ace, unto, or toward, or into, heteron evangelion, into another message of good news, or into another gospel. So, people have tried to use this verse to date the epistle, that it's written, you know, soon after their conversion, but, you know, one man's quickly as another man's not so quickly, so it's hard to be too precise on that. So, good. Questions? Comments?
Kaleo being a contact verb, what we normally expect the absolute to lengthen to an eta.
Yes.
Is that an anomaly with this word?
Mm-hmm. A very good question. Kalesantas is from kaleo, normally outside the first principal part. The stem epsilon lengthens to eta. And this verb is simply one of the ones that doesn't lengthen. Yep. And so it is an anomaly. There's a couple of others that do that, but they're escaping my brain right now. So, yep, good, good. Anything else on verse 6? Okay, now Paul has to take back what he just said, right? Because he doesn't want to infer something, so he begins with this relative clause, verse 7. Ha uk esten ala, eme, tenes esen hoi tarasantas humas, kai thelantes, meta strepsai, ta evangelion tu Christu. So he says, the one who called you by the grace of Christ to another gospel. Then he says, the relative pronoun, which is not another. Eme, often together, means anybody?
Unless.
Unless or?
Except.
And except is the normal translation here. Good. Except, tenes, now this is the indefinite pronoun, certain ones or certain people. Certain people are hoi tarasantas, the ones troubling you, And, now the article does double duty, the ones wishing meta strepsi, the infinitive, is kind of the object or the complement of thelontes, wishing to pervert, wishing to change over. You can see meta and strepo, right? Combined there, wishing to pervert the gospel of Christ. Another debate that has gone on, if you look at the end of verse 6, you see the word other, heteron, and then you have in verse 7, allos, the neuter form, Allah. People have tried to argue for a distinction in meaning, largely unsuccessfully. The New Testament authors just don't seem to preserve a distinction. And to be honest, I can't remember what it is. It's like heteros is one of a pair, another of a pair, and allos is a completely different category or something like that. And it just, if you try to make this work in the text where this occurs, it just doesn't work. I don't think there's a distinction of meaning here. So, but the point is easy enough. There is no other good news. But here's what you've got going on. Certain people are the ones who are troubling you and wishing to pervert the gospel of Christ, which I suspect, just to make Dustin happy, is an objective genitive. That is, Christ is the content, you good news Christ. But not that it matters all that much. But now I've done my duty and labeled the genitive modifier. That's, yeah, Tim.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm just still trying to figure out the AMA there. Is there kind of a gap in thought there when you say, which is not another, except, mm-hmm. I put it like this because
yes.
You're troubling.
Yes. Yes, it's somewhat elliptical, so you have to fill in the gap there.
Okay.
Right. It's actually hard to diagram the sentence. Yeah, right. Right.
So, I was going to ask a similar question. Does that mean that the AMA negates thalmazo? I'm amazed that this is happening, unless somebody's trying to do this, and then I understand that I'm not so amazed.
Oh, okay. I think it's normally not, at least it's not normally taken to reach back quite that far. Right. Which is not another, because you can't have another gospel. Right? So, and how did you fill it together, Tim?
Except, I got to put it this way, because,
right.
In other words, I'm calling it a gospel, because
right.
There are certain trouble, you're trying to twist the gospel, so
right.
They're calling it gospel, or,
right.
You know, so he's got to deal.
Which was like the same gospel, but perverted.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, and by the way, Galatians is really, of course, as we all know, the place where it's sort of like, if it ain't pure gospel, it ain't no gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not allowed to add anything to the one who gave himself for our sins in order that he might... And, you know, there's been entire studies written on sort of the significance of Paul's greetings. You can see this in Corinthians, for instance. He brings up stuff which will later come up in the letter. And so the fact that his apostolic authority is not from any human source, well, that's the subject of 1:10 to 2:10, okay, or 2:14, and then the theme that it's, you know, the gospel is purely the work of Christ and no aspect of human effort whatsoever is, you know, basically the topic of 2:15 to the end of chapter 5, practically. So Paul is kind of priming the pump here for sure. So... Okay, now we have two conditional sentences. Maybe we'll just take up verse 8, and then we'll leave verse 9 for next time. Verse 8, Allah, kai e'an, hemes, e angelos ex uranu, evangelizetai humin, par ha euangelis samatha humin, anathema esto. Rather, or but, now, kai aeon often can be and is normally taken here as kind of concessive. Even if, right? Even if we, emphatic pronoun, or an angel from heaven, and because we've got aeon, now we'll have a subjunctive verb, so aeon galid zetai, you can see the long connecting vowel, the eta, so present subjunctive, middle, third singular, preach to you. Para plus the accusative can mean a number of things. It can mean contrary to, and that's the way it's normally taken here, I think. Contrary to, and now this is a little awkward, the relative pronoun doesn't have to have an antecedent. What you want is contrary to that which we preached. But you'll often not have the that word. So it's just contrary to which we preached to you, we good news to you. So it's just a little elliptical there. And then get the shoe dropping. The imperative of a me, third person singular, let him be a fairly strong word, anathema, right? And you can look it up in the commentaries. Paul is basically shipping the person to hell, right, if they preach a gospel different. Which is a darn good reason to start your sermons on Monday and not on Friday, right? Now, is that a cheerful kind of an Easter application or what? Right? I mean, sometimes you have to start on Friday, now you get the Grammar King Award if you can label the kind of conditional sentences is. Aeon plus the subjunctive, followed by virtually any other verb form in the apodosis, as it's called. This would be a
present
general conditional sentence. Bing, bing, bing.
God has come down in the form of a man.
Now this might not have any real impact, because you get these mixed conditions and you wonder sometimes if Greek writers didn't always follow strictly their own rules of grammar. But what you actually get in the next verse is a shift from a present general condition, that is, if ever this is happening, to a particular condition, if someone is doing this. And I think most people see a kind of a significance there because you've got the two back to back. But that's verse 9, and it's time to stop. So, Galatians, 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 right? And we'll pick up at verse 9 next week. All right.